This podcast is a proud member of the Lamb Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.
Welcome to the Really Awful Movies Podcast, a celebration of low-budget cinema.
Is another apocalyptic prediction about to come true? Winds of death sweep across the world, and whole continents will be cast adrift in an ocean of blood.
Chris, and along with Jeff, we're bringing you the very best and worst of horror, sci-fi, action, exploitation, kung fu, and women in prison movies from the 1970s to today. Be sure and check out reallyawfulmovies.com for reviews, interviews, lists, and terrific movie giveaways. From our downtown Toronto headquarters, here's episode 10, Terror Vision.
Terror Vision. Bum, bum, dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, this is a weird one. A sort of oddball family sets up a satellite dish and manages to pull in not just obscure porn channels and action films and B-movie channels, but a creature from another galaxy.
Mm-hmm, so
that's just the bare bones outline. But now, yeah, there's way more to it than that. This is campy, goofy fun.
This is just a goofy, really funny sort of 80s... Throw everything at the wall, see what sticks. Movie. I mean, it's pretty
spaghetti theory.
Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, the one thing I find really interesting, Chris, is this movie was written and directed by Ted Nicolau, who was the sound recordist on Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah, which is odd. He's a bit of an odd guy too.
So the same guy that was recording like those animalistic squeals and
yeah.
you know the pigs and the cows and what have you.
This guy puts out this sort of corny 1960s monster movie.
Yeah, no, and this movie's a hoot. So yeah, you mentioned that, but so before we get into the whole alien thing, let's talk a bit about the family.
Yeah, the family, I guess the mother and father and two kids. It's a satire of, I guess, Southern California culture at the time.
Yeah.
So you got, the mother and father are swingers.
They're swingers, yeah.
And the female half is played by Mary Warrenoff, who we'll talk about later in Eating Raoul.
Mm-hmm. Mary Warrenoff is amazing. I mean, I always... Did you know that Mary Warrenoff was a member of Andy Warhol's Factory?
I did, yeah.
Yeah.
She's got a certain, attenuated appeal.
Mm-hmm.
She's got these long limbs and strange, hands and an elongated face. She's definitely a unique screen presence.
Oh, I would agree. Sure. And the father is played by Stanley, I guess is his name, is played by Garrett Graham, who played a very pivotal role in another one of my favorite films, Phantom of the Paradise.
Mm-hmm.
He played Beef, who's sort of this... sort of pseudo rock and roll star, very effete, very kind of like a very, very interesting role. Garrett Graham, I mean, this movie, I mean, the guy's, I mean, he just hams it up with the best of them. I mean, he's, he doesn't take it seriously for a second, but I mean, how could you with a movie like this? And then you got the survivalist grandpa living in a bunker in the basement.
He's got a Confederate flag, and he's got sort of an homage to, various battles of years gone by.
Yeah.
Of your, and he's
your,
got a,
from the future, or just your?
Your, and he's got, of course, almost like a munitions depot. He's got a bunker, and of course, he transmits some of this knowledge he has about warfare to his grandson. And his grandson's a little sharpshooter as well.
Oh yeah,
so these are like Second Amendment NRA type guys.
And Grandpa had a really really a great pair of caterpillar brows too.
He did. and the daughter is a valley girl, inexplicably she's into metal.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got giant 80s hair, and she speaks in the valley girl accent.
Now, speaking of valley girl, I mean, the theme song for this movie, the one that was kind of singing really badly as this began. It's by a band called the Fibonacci's. It's a really good...
Fibonacci, for those of you who may not know, is an obscure mathematical sequence.
The world-famous Fibonacci.
The world-famous, I believe it has to do with the patterns you see in a seashell.
Yep.
But anyway, we won't get into
Actually,
that.
Actually, we'll play a little bit of the theme song right about now.
Yeah.
Thank you. So that was the Fibonacci's doing the theme song Terrorvision. Now, what's really interesting, and speaking of Valley Girl, because Frank Zappa, who had a really big hit with a song called Valley Girl,
yeah. He was almost in this movie.
No. He was going to do the score and the theme song.
Oh, okay.
He was this close. Now, I don't recall why Zappa ended up not doing it, but he was this close to signing on. And the other thing that's kind of interesting about this film is it is also a parody of sort of the garbage that was being fed through, you know, the coaxial tube, you know, through MTV in the 80s and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Zappa, he's got this really incredible song called I Am the Slime.
Yeah.
Where he basically talks about the same themes, you know? It's basically like, I'm the slime from your video, and so on and so forth.
This is also following up on our theme when we talked about demons.
Yeah.
Where something comes out of your television. Mm. That's sort of interesting that this would be the next
one. Yeah, this is like a subgenre, you know? Demons, one, two, Terrorvision, Videodrome, Poltergeist, The Ring. I mean, man, you know?
Interestingly, Harry Shearer, you know, from This Is Spinal Tap, he almost appeared in this movie as well. Well, if you could say almost. He was approached to play the lead role in it, and he turned it down.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, so we could have had Harry Shearer, Principal Skinner from The Simpsons, and Frank Zappa doing the score.
But what we had was pretty good. So
that is really cool.
Okay, so yeah, we have this swinger couple, and Stanley, who is the patriarch of the family, mm-hmm. he pulls in this signal, which is actually this really bizarre, not creepy, but like this looks like a bit of a garbage dump, this alien. Like, the creature effects are fantastic, right?
Yeah.
And the girl, she's got a boyfriend.
she's got a boyfriend who comes over and befriends this creature.
Right. Now, the boyfriend's name is OD.
Not to be confused with Overdosing.
Who was wearing probably one of the most conspicuous wigs in history of cinema.
Yeah.
But OD is a metalhead. Actually, there's a nice little cameo from Blackie Lawless and Wasp at one point.
Yeah, Wasp, sort of a semi-forgettable 80s rocking group there. Rock and rollers. And this guy's got the studs. He's got the leather. And at one point, I guess the creature, you know, almost thinks he recognizes it.
Well, he thinks
because the owner of the creature who feeds him also has these studded leather gloves.
Right.
So I guess the spread of metal is beyond our galaxy to ones far beyond.
Oh yeah, no,
the metal aesthetic.
You do not underestimate
the power of 80s metal.
The power of 80s metal, exactly.
The Sunset Strip.
There you go. Also, going off on a bit of a tangent here, but we mentioned the fact that parents are swingers, and they bring home this really, really bizarre couple.
Yeah, I think they put out an ad in the newspaper asking, for, like-minded folks. And I guess it didn't dawn on them when the guy said he was into Greek. That it wasn't just, like, the guy's name is Spiros.
Right.
And that he wasn't just into Greek culture and, and the Parthenon and Athens and all that stuff. He was more into the husband than he was into swapping with the wife. So.
Now, Chris, let me ask you a question. Do you have an ouzo?
No, I do not.
Oh, that's a shame, because I make a delicious ouzo
margarita.
Margarita, yeah, there you go.
Sounds like a disgusting combination.
But anyway, eventually this monster ends up killing all the adults and kind of regurgitating them in this sort of
a weird slime stasis.
Uh-huh,
he doesn't actually kill them, as opposed to he suspends them in slime.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's also another, there's a character by the name of Medusa, who's sort of a television horror hostess along the lines of your Elvira.
Yeah, she hosts a call-in show. And I guess we should mention for our younger listeners who haven't heard of Elvira, she was sort of a well-endowed, bosomy, big-haired B-movie queen who had a TV show, she would introduce these sort of movies that sort of inspired us here.
Yeah, and so Medusa in this movie is quite well-endowed, and she wears this really kind of bizarre wig of snakes.
It's about as realistic as the metalhead's wig.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, one of my favorite lines is when OD plays a bit of metal, his own band.
Yeah.
Yeah, he plays it for the monster, and he goes, "This dude's into metal." So, Chris, what else? What else can we say about Terrorvision? I mean, this movie is, like I said, it's quirky. It doesn't take itself seriously for a second. It's hilarious. It's got monsters. It's got
it's got slimy jacuzzis.
It's got erotic art on the walls.
It's got swingers.
You got swingers.
It's got an alternative lifestyle.
You got Greeks who are into Greek. Yeah. Not there's anything wrong with that.
No.
Not at
it's
all.
It's got machine guns.
It's got machine guns?
It's got a creature that is... it's got more sort of in common with Gremlins that came around the same time. It's that sort of aesthetic. It has sort of a weird phallic protuberance.
It does have a protuberance. It always comes back to protuberance, doesn't it? Yeah.
With a single blinking eye. That's very unsettling.
Mm-hmm. And also, I mean, in many ways, I mean, it's funny because, I mean, the TV plays a big part in this movie, and, you know, they keep flipping through all the dial, and they keep... And a lot of these 50s sort of sci-fi B-movies come on, and some of the movies that, you know, we see little clips on here and there are movies such as, like, Robot Monster or The Giant Claw or Earth vs. the Flying Saucers. So in a way, this is almost like an 80s version of those, you know, sort of... creature features, you know, these cheesy sci-fi movies from the 80s.
Oh, yeah, and Kung Fu as well, and, you know, and the samurai movies as well. But this movie also has a lot of heart. I mean, this family, to their credit, they try and get this creature to speak, and they get it to repeat each one of their names.
That was really funny.
And they try and introduce it to sort of, you know, bad fast food, Mexican fast food.
That,
and they're rebuffed in their efforts to do this. But
it's like, what was that movie with that little dude that made you cry like a butthole?
E.T., you idiot, or whatever. Yeah, it's got similarities to, you know, Gremlins and E.T. It's not overly gory. It's charming.
I mean, I would almost say if it wasn't for all the erotic art on the wall and the statue that, like, emits water from the nipples, I would say it would be family-friendly. But, I mean, there's a lot of innuendo. But overall, it's a good time. Chris, 5 stars, rating scale?
1 being a must-miss, 5 being a must-see. This is definitely, depending on one's taste, a solid 3.5.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, it's entertaining, and if your sensibilities veer towards a bit more of the goofy, the humorous, if you're not looking for like some sort of all-out gore fest, then yeah, you really can't do wrong with TerrorVision. What did you learn, Chris?
I learned that if you're going to install a satellite dish, it's probably best to avoid one that's called
do-it-yourself
a satellite dish. And I guess, you know, despite what other movies will tell you, I guess War of the Worlds and whatnot, these creatures aren't particularly malevolent.
No, they're not. They're some of them are, you know, fairly friendly and cute. And I learned, however, that do not call a space monster a butthole. That will not, that won't result in anything good happening to you. I also learned that Spiro makes a delicious uso margarita. Sometimes you have to kiss the boot.
Oh,
that was a non sequitur.
Words to live by. That should be embroidered on a pillow.
Do you remember
or something.
That scene though?
I do remember that.
you like the metal, dude? Kiss the boot.
Yeah.
Talk about a non sequitur.
Yeah, and a strange thing to say to a kid: kiss the boot. And this Second Amendment kid. You know, he's armed to the teeth, so you don't want to make those kind of comments around. And if I'm not mistaken, yeah, he shoved his machine gun into his groin when he said that. Anyway, for more, check out reallyawfulmovies.com, and we'll talk to you soon.
Take care.